everybody, welcome to Medicare Agent IQ, where our heart is at, we want to help agents to be successful selling Medicare. So the idea is, whether you're brand new in this business or whether you are a long-term agent, hopefully you're picking up something new, staying motivated. So I'm Raul Gonzalez.
I'm Oscar Ibieta.
And so today what we're going to do is a role-playing kind of exercise. And it's like a lot of times when we're training new agents, we like to do this. And this is just part of our strategy of helping agents get to understand. I feel like if you've been in a situation, if you've already kind of gone through it, then you'll be more successful.
Yeah, role play is huge. I think so. If you're trying to, you know, if you're one of the newer agents to the business, you definitely want to make it a point to try and do some role playing, maybe with family members or whoever it is that's training you, or some fellow agents. But it's a big part of what we do, because the truth of it is you're not going to be able to. You want to have some scenarios that you've run through, potential scenarios that you're going to run out to in the field.
Yeah, or like even maybe if you're in this business, you probably know someone with Medicare. Maybe if you're younger, maybe your grandparent, whoever it is, you probably know someone. So it could be that you reach out to them and say, hey, look, I'd love to just role play with you. I'm not really actually trying to change your insurance. Who knows? It could turn into a sell.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not trying to look, grandma, I'm not trying to change your insurance. You know, funny story. When I first started working at Humana back in 2007, my grandfather was with United and wanted nothing to do with changing over to Humana. And I was like, I would go over, and like every AEP, I'd be like, grandpa, let's look at this. And he'd be like, no, we're going to stay. And I'm like, okay. So finally, like the year before I left Humana, he was like, all right, let's go ahead and do this, just this Humana. And so we switched him over to Humana. And so finally got the move. And then after I left, I was like, hey, let's go back to United. And he was a hard no up until maybe a year and a half ago. He finally switched away from Humana, and I never got paid for my grandpa. So I got paid that 1 year of the like the last 11 years. My grandfather passed away a couple months ago. But before that, like basically he did not, like he wanted to go with the opposite thing of whatever I had. So funny story. But you could still have that, like you could still do a presentation for him and say, you know, or for someone, just say, hey, look, I just want to get some practice in with a real Medicare beneficiary. I'd love to explain this to you. And if they're that kind of person that's like, nah, to be honest, I don't want to change anything. Really, I don't need you to change. I just want to get some practice in with a real Medicare beneficiary. So, but what we'll do right now is basically just go through and do some role playing where just the way that you could do with your spouse if you don't have anyone to do it with. So
let's set the table for the first scenario here.
Yeah.
So
I can't remember. Am I the agent?
You're going to be the agent.
I'm the agent. Yep,
I'm the prospect, right? I'm the person that you're working with. I'm turning 65 in 3 months. I'm a federal retiree.
Or let me ask those questions.
Yeah.
Instead.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you know nothing.
I know nothing.
All right.
Yeah.
All
like,
right.
Look. Here's the deal. So you just called me. Ring, ring, ring. Hi. This is Raul. How can I help you?
Hey, Raul. My name's Bob.
Hey, Bob.
I was given your phone number by a friend of mine, and I'm going to be turning 65 here pretty soon, and they said that you could help me with my Medicare.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I do. And usually what I like to do, and it's completely up to you, but I like to actually get together in person. And a lot of times I can show you things in person. It just makes a lot of sense for us to do that. And kind of thinking, I actually have some time available 2 days from now. I think it might be a good idea if we go ahead and met in person. Would you be okay with that?
Let me see here. Give me a second. Let me take a look at my calendar. Yeah. I'm open. Do you have anything available in the morning?
Yeah, I sure do. I can be over there at 9 a.m. Let me just go ahead and grab your address. There's a form here called the scope of appointment form. Since we're recording our call, what I'm going to go ahead and do is a voice scope of appointment, basically just getting permission to come out, talk to you about all your options. Really, I think we'll talk about Medicare Advantage, Medicare Supplement. Really, just our goal would be to talk about all your options. Was that okay with you?
Yeah. So
all right.
Let's
basically this form that we're going to go through, I'm going to do it electronically, and I'm just going to read it to you. But overall, what it is just kind of a permission slip for me to be able to come and talk to you about your plan option. So let's go ahead and then, so we have a telephonic scope of appointment IVR thing that we can use. So we went through that, and so we're timeout. So
and the way, cut.
Yeah, cut. Yeah, we're not role playing anymore. One of the things that I'm going to talk about real quick is just, so that's how I do things. I like the idea of going in person. I like the idea of sitting with them, getting in front of them, building a relationship. Now, could I be wasting my time? Possibly. I could probably find some information out that would get me out of that appointment ahead of time. Okay. Now, sometimes that does happen. Other times it works out really well because maybe you get there and that person's not a person that you're going to be able to enroll, but turns out they have, special needs nephew that they take care of, and they could get on a different plan. So you never know. I like the idea of going, sitting in front of someone. It's better than not being in an appointment.
Absolutely,
so,
I agree.
So that's why I do that. So I don't really I don't do a lot of pre-screening of appointments. And so I went over there, and so now I get there. So we're gonna jump back in after the warm up. So normally what I do when I walk into somebody's house is I'm like, hey, you know, good to see you. Oh, look at all this. Man, you're such a Dallas Cowboy fan. 27 years, right? Just something like that. And just be like, I feel that. And, you know, whatever it is, find something that you guys have some common interest in. That's a big way. And I think we've talked about this before, but it's a big way to kind of build relationships. If you can find some common interest, find something that it gets them talking, find something that you're interested in that you can go ahead and talk about. And so we've done all that. And John, was that your name?
My name's Bob.
Bob really likes me now. We've kind of warmed up, and he just kind of has this, you know, like as much trust as you can build in 10 minutes. And he's also heard from a friend. And normally, actually, what I didn't do, and, you know, role plays are not perfect. Normally, what I would do in real life if I got a call like that is I would say, Bob, who can I thank for giving you my phone number if they don't say who it is? So a couple of reasons. One, I want to be able to thank whoever it was that sent that referral to me. But two, just kind of understanding who it was. Like if they got it just from some random person at a doctor's office, then they don't even know. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes when they say that they got it from a random person at a doctor's office, could also be a secret shopper. That's just look, I'm always going to do my best, but I'm going to go above and beyond and make sure that I'm in the mode if there's that possibility. Yeah. Also, like, again, I'm always doing the right thing, but sometimes that's a clue if they're like, I don't know who it was.
Right. But it's always nice to try and track down where that referral came from, because remember, a lot of the messages that we preach here are is grassroots and let's get out and let's build relationships and go to these different networking events and whatnot. So you want to know where that's coming from, because if it came from a dentist that you've built a relationship with, or if it came from, you know, that networking event, that professional, where all different kinds of professionals gather, you want to be able to track it down. And so that way, again, you can call and thank that person, but now you know, okay, I can, you know, if it's coming from this dentist office that I'm trying to work with, or that I'm trying to build this relationship with, you want to keep them in mind. If when you get to the part of talking about dental benefits, you want to try and make sure that you can send, if the opportunity presents itself, that you can send that piece of business back to the dental office, or you just find a way moving forward in the next week or two, right, to a client that you're meeting with, that you can send that dental office a piece of business. So that way you're creating that two-way street with the office in this particular case.
Right. Okay. So now the warm-up is done. And so we've got that great relationship, or good, not great. It's going to get great. Believe me, once I start delivering on the service that I'm promising I'm going to deliver on, our relationship is going to be great. They're going to love me. But right now, you've kind of built a little bit of trust, you know, we're liking each other. And so now let's go ahead and I just kind of wanted to talk a little bit more. You mentioned when we were on the phone that you're turning 65 in 3 months. I like to take some notes and so that way I can make sure that I get a good understanding of what your needs are and just make sure that we get you on the right plan. So one of the questions I have is, you mentioned that you're going to be turning 65 in 3 months. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. And so 3 months from now, you'll be turning 65, and you are, you mentioned earlier that you're on the federal employees health benefits.
I am.
Okay. Yeah. And you retired from,
I worked for the FBI.
Oh, that's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah.
I want to ask you some questions about that later.
I might not be able to answer that. Yeah.
So you work for the FBI, and so now you qualify for their health benefits, retiree coverage, which is a really good program. And so, sometimes I talk to people and it makes sense for them, it makes sense for them to stay with that coverage. Sometimes I talk to them and it says, that it doesn't make sense for them. And so that's what we're going to try to figure out does a Medicare Advantage make sense? That kind of question.
So, because I just keep hearing about this penalty if I don't sign up for Medicare. And so I just need to figure out, with this retirement benefits that I have, how does that look for me?
Yeah. So what ends up happening is when a person turns 65, there is a penalty if they could be on Medicare and they choose not to. So a lot of times what I'll tell people is it does make sense to get on the insurance because regardless of the decision you make about your health care, it would probably be a good idea to sign up for Medicare Part A and B if you're eligible for it, because of the fact that if you ever decided to get it in the future, there would be a late enrollment penalty. Okay. So there are some people that don't have to pay that late enrollment penalty if they're, let's say that they were still working, but since yours is retiree coverage, then, because you mentioned you're not working at all anymore, right?
Right. Right.
So because of the fact that it's retiree coverage, there would be a penalty for Medicare Part B, not Part D, but Medicare Part B. And so it would make sense to sign up for it. If 5 years from now you said, I want to sign up for Medicare now, the way that it works is that for every 1 year that you could have had it and chose not to, it's a 10% penalty per year. So 5 years from now, it'd be 50%. So if the premium's $180 a month 5 years from now, then you'd be paying an additional $90 on top of that. So I would definitely, that would be my recommendation. But let's figure out if maybe there's some other options. Now, is it just you that's on that coverage, or are you married? Tell me a little bit more.
Yeah, I carry I carry my wife on my policy as well.
She's on that policy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she doesn't have any other retiree coverage in any other place?
No, okay. No, she doesn't.
Okay, and how old is she?
She's 61, so she'll be she'll be 62 soon. So.
Okay, so she's 61 years old, and she's on your coverage through the FEHB, and she doesn't have really any other options as far as health insurance goes.
Right. Yeah, she doesn't. So she didn't work. I was the only one who worked, so I've always carried her on my insurance all the years that I was working, and even now with my retirement coverage.
What is the premium that you're paying for the federal employees health benefits coverage right now?
For the two of us, we're paying about $800 a month.
About $800 a month. Okay. So you guys have one of the better options of.
Yeah, I think we've got like the lower deductible.
Lower deductible. Was there a reason you chose that lower deductible, or you just wanted to make sure that everything is?
I like it because of the fact that it has a lower deductible. But recently, in recent years, we have been using our insurance quite a bit.
Okay.
And so
your wife also, like, or
yeah, okay. my wife more than me.
Okay.
To be honest, yeah.
So here's what I would tell you, because of the fact that she's so much younger than you, or since she's younger than you, I like to make recommendations on what I might do if I were in your shoes. And I can tell you that if it were me, based off of the fact that you mentioned that she does have, that she is using it quite a bit, and that's why you've chosen the lower deductible. I guess the one last question I would ask is, are you able to afford this premium comfortably? Like,
yeah. I mean, right now, the way that it is, obviously it's $800 is a lot of money, and it's not money that we want to be spending, but it's a necessity. And right now it does.
Especially if she's dealing with all these things, right? So what I probably would do in this exact situation is probably just I would sign up for Medicare Part A and B, and I would, and you're going to have that monthly premium for Medicare Part B. And then that's what I would do so I can avoid a penalty in the future if I ever want to look at my other options, because in, you know, 3 years from now, it could be that maybe a Medicare Advantage might make sense for you and for your wife, depending on the situation. But what I probably would do is sign up for Medicare Part A and B, and I would stay on the federal employees' health benefits and then reevaluate as she gets closer to 65. Because my big concern for your wife is that maybe the only option that I can think of that would make sense might be an ACA plan, which is the Affordable Care Act. I'm sure a lot of people call it Obamacare, right?
Okay. And we don't want that.
We don't want
that for my wife.
Because of the fact that there's limited networks and things like that, I think that it might be best for you to just kind of stick with that insurance. But the good part is that we've been able to talk, we've been able to kind of figure it out. But I just don't think that anything that I have at this point would make sense for you. Does that make sense? Okay.
So just wait until go ahead and take Part A and B, and then wait until my wife gets closer to 65.
That's right.
And then she can get onto Medicare and we can
reevaluate. Yeah, so what I'm hoping is, and I could even put it in my note to just kind of reach out to you, and as we get closer to your wife's birthday, and I think we should talk again and just figure out at that point what the situation is. There might be a really good option for her that would still give her that choice of to keep the doctors that she's seen for all of these things and maybe save you some money. But we'll figure that out as we get closer to it, because we don't know what the future holds on the plan. So that's probably what I would go ahead and do. But one thing that I do want to do, though, is here's three of my business cards. Would you do me a favor? And I obviously the way that I make my living is I help people sign up for insurance. Would you do me a favor? Is there someone else that you know? If there's someone else that you know with Medicare, I would love to help them. So would you do me a favor and give these three business cards to someone? I'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Can I keep one for myself?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Then I'll hand these out.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's someone else that you can even think of, like friend, family, or something that's turning 65, this is what I do. I love to come out and meet with people and just kind of figure out what their situation is and really try to help guide them into the right option.
Okay. So. Well, hey, Raul, I really appreciate this. I've been so confused about this whole process, and I just kept hearing about this penalty, but I wasn't sure if I had to do this or, you know, really what our options were. But now that we sat down and actually went through everything, now I understand why we're going to stick with this. And then a few years from now, we'll be reaching out to you, so that way we can sit down and have another conversation once my wife becomes eligible for Medicare.
Well, very cool. Thank you so much. All right. So basically the last part of it is, do I feel like this was a wasted appointment? No, I don't. And the reason is that there's still going to be opportunity. I still got in front of someone that might have friends or family. If I did take that first 10 minutes and it kind of made them like me in that 10 minutes, which realistically, a lot of times I feel like I do a pretty good job of that. And I feel like if you follow a lot of the things that we recommend, you'll do a good job of that. It's not wasted time. You've got in front of someone who has their own circle of influence that may recommend you if that conversation comes up. It's weird. Like, The conversation about health insurance does come up a lot in the senior community. Like, they'll just randomly, like, they're getting together and they're talking, they're playing cards or whatever it is, and then the subject comes up, and maybe how it comes up is, yeah, man, I can't believe that I wasn't able to get that medication, you know, blah blah blah. Like, what do you mean? And then it just leads to one thing leads to the other. And it's like, man, I just had this guy over the other day. And that is how these things work. So I'm getting in front of as many people as I can. So
it's never a waste. It's never a waste of your time to sit down and get an appointment with somebody, sit down in an appointment with somebody, because it's an opportunity for you to learn and to grow. And more importantly, to get out there in front of seniors and to educate them, because this whole thing of Medicare, it's a very confusing thing that they've got to navigate. And it's our job to get in front of them and really kind of take them by the hand and help them get through and navigate through this thing. But I want to share a quick story, right? I've got a member that I met with or during AEP of last year, and she's on TRS. It's like the teacher's retirement system here in Texas. Yeah, and turns out that the decision was that she was going to stay with her TRS plan, and so it did not lead to an enrollment for me. So I didn't make a sale. I didn't make any money off of it. But let me tell you, I feel and I know that I delivered such great service and did such a great job of educating her that she has actually referred since in the last 4 months, she has referred four people to me.
Wow.
That I've enrolled is simply because she just valued the fact that I took the time to sit with her and to educate her and helped her make the decision. And I didn't. So this is to you know, I share this with the agents that are listening. It's not always going to lead to a sale, and don't push it. Don't force it. But if you do a good enough job, I promise you it's going to lead to referrals. And that's a prime example. This is fresh. This just happened recently. And she really has sent four people to me. All four people are brand new to Medicare.
Yeah. I would say that if I'm going to self-evaluate, I'm going to look at myself. Do I get people to like me is a question that I would ask. And if the answer is no, I would urge you to go back to one of our podcasts we had on how to win friends and influence people. Read that book. If you don't, and it's not about, you know, actually like just getting people to like you, but you have, you know, these short periods of time to make an impression on someone. So I would highly recommend that you do that and just get in front of them, because a lot of that is because Oscar was able to just kind of get this person to like them. So,
Yep.
Hey, let's go on to the next one. I'm gonna now you'll be the agent.
Okay.
And so I'm going to set the stage. So here is the situation. So Oscar, I just met with my wife, who is just turning 65. I'm 68 years old, and he helped her enroll into a plan, and I am not on Medicare at all. So that's one of the things that that we're talking about. So, hey, thank you for enrolling my wife into this plan. It's, you know, I never get on, you know, I'm taking advantage of all those things. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and that's what I do. This is, I sit down with people and I let you know about all the options that you have. And I know that you mentioned when we were talking with your wife that you don't have Medicare. Now, do you have you don't have Part A or Part B, or what is it that you?
No, I don't have Medicare Part B. I have the A.
Do you have your card? I'll take a quick look at it and I can see. Okay, so I see here that you've got Part A
just
only.
A. Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason why you didn't enroll into Part B?
Like $150. I don't want to, like, I go to, if I go and do everything at the VA, why would I?
Oh, you
that?
Go to VA.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that you go to the VA for everything. Okay. So you go to the VA for everything and you have your Part A. Okay. So is there anything? So you go to the VA for your doctor's appointments, everything. Do you ever run into any issues there, or is everything going pretty smoothly there?
No, it's never good. Had any issues? Other than like sometimes I have to wait like two hours for my appointment. But
okay. Yeah.
But other than that, it's pretty good.
Okay. Well, one thing that I like to share with people is you always have the option to enroll into Part B. Now, you're 68 years old, so you mentioned, right, this year it's $174.90. That's that's the premium
that's too much for Part B.
So a lot of times people say, well, why would I pay the money for that if I go to the VA for everything? And I always tell people there's a lot of different reasons that it would be a good idea to enroll into Part B. And one of those reasons is if you ever wanted access to a civilian doctor, right? Like if you wanted to go and see some private doctors outside of the VA, or maybe you wanted to get a second opinion on something, or they're just the wait times, like you mentioned, right? It's just so long. And you've said, well, I don't know how much longer I can do this. And the reality is, as we get older, it may get harder to get to the VA and to get to your appointments. And so having one of these, having a plan that gives you the ability to go to doctors outside of the VA and kind of keeping it in your back pocket would be a good idea. And there's a lot of value to that. You mentioned, you know, first and foremost, the Medicare, it's $174. You know, why do I want to pay that? Well, there are plans that are designed to actually put money back into your Social Security check. And so if you just like, if you wanted to continue going to the VA for everything, you absolutely can. But you can, if you enroll into Part B, there are plans that will put money back into your Social Security check where it's not actually costing you the full $174 a month. It can actually get reduced significantly lower. But in addition to that, right, you can get additional benefits like dental benefits. You can get vision benefits. You mentioned earlier that you guys
does
like to go.
Does my VA cover dental?
It depends. It depends on how you.
I'm not disabled or anything, okay. So I don't think it does.
It probably doesn't.
Pretty much feel like I've been on my own with dental.
Yeah, it probably doesn't. So you can get some of these plans that give you money back also have a built-in dental package where you can use the dental benefits. You can use the vision benefits. I know you mentioned that you and your wife like to go and work out at the YMCA. Mm-hmm. Some of these plans include a gym membership. So even at that, you know, now your wife's no longer going to have to pay for her gym membership. You wouldn't have to pay for your gym membership either if you were to get onto one of these plans. So getting enrolling into Part B, there's a ton of value in that. But I would say if you like going to the VA and you want to continue going there, by all means do, right? Because you probably don't pay anything when you go to the VA, but having something like this in your back pocket will actually make sense. And it's actually going to bring you a lot of extra benefits, like the benefits that we discussed with your wife. You'd be able to have all those benefits as well.
Yeah.
So now you're 68. So you may be looking at paying an enrollment, Part B late enrollment penalty.
So even more than the 174?
Yeah, but remember, I talked about how there are plans that'll give you money back into your Social Security check. And again, remember the money that you're going to be saving for the gym membership. You know, what do you pay for between the two of you
for the right Y, now? I think we pay like $70 a month for both of us.
So that's going to be, that would be savings right off the bat for the both of you. You'd be saving that $70 that you're paying there. And then for dental, you mentioned that you're pretty much doing everything on your own. You wouldn't have to pay those out-of-pocket expenses. You don't? Okay.
No, but I know the reason I was asking is because I've been having some pain, and so.
There you go. So dental hygiene is very important. It can lead to more problems. So if you can get ahead of that and actually address it beforehand, you can prevent a lot of problems. Where do you get your glasses right now?
From the VA.
You go to the VA. Okay, gotcha. So there's a lot of, and there's other extra benefits. Transportation, if you needed a ride to go to, you know, if you find a doctor here and you want to go and get that second opinion or whatnot, we can get you set up with a doctor out here. And if you needed a ride to the doctor, that benefit is available to you too. Over-the-counter items, I'm sure you guys buy, you know, Advil, Tylenol, vitamins, you know, toothpaste, toothbrushes. There's a lot of these expenses that we spend with our own money. A lot of these plans offer benefits where they offer these at no additional cost. They give you credit. So there's a ton of value in considering getting into Medicare Part B.
Okay. You know what? I'll think about it.
Yeah. So right now we can't do, there's not, you would have to have what we call a special enrollment period into getting Part B. So this time of year, you're actually not, we'd actually have to wait until next year to get you enrolled in Part B. But here's what we're going to do. We could maybe set something up for later this year. I'll reach out to you and come open enrollment or AEP. We'll set up an appointment just to do a courtesy plan review with your wife. And then we can have another discussion about you. And if we feel like it makes sense, then we can get the ball rolling on getting your Medicare Part B set up. Does that sound good?
It does. It does. Thank you.
Okay. And cut. So I want to talk a little bit about what we went through there in that appointment. So notice the prospect, you were not a big fan of having to sign up for Part B just because of the fact that it costs a lot of money.
Right.
So what I did as the agent was I immediately identified that. I saw that. I saw the look on your face. I read you and I said, okay, well, this looks like it's potentially an uphill battle, but I'm still going to try. And I did so, but in a very subtle way. And I did that by bringing all the value and explaining all the value that these Medicare Advantage plans bring. And I talked about, you know, the money that they're spending at the YMCA and the money that they spend on over-the-counter items and dental. And I brought value to the Medicare Advantage plans to make you think about it and say, you know what, this might actually make sense for me.
Yeah. The one thing that I would throw out there too, that if I were in your shoes and if I were doing that, would be that, the part that I would throw out there would be that, that both Medicare and the VA actually recommend that he get on Medicare.
I left that out.
I would throw that one thing out there because of the fact that it is a missed opportunity because they do recommend. And the big part that I would say is because what if there was an emergency? What if you're out just kind of out in the street, nowhere near a VA, you have a major situation come up, those types of things. Medicare and the VA both recommend that they get on it. And so one of the things I would always tell people is just, you know, go back and talk to the people at the VA. They're going to recommend that you get on it. And I do think that there's an opportunity in March to sign up for Medicare Part B.
There is. I wanted to pretend that I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole of general enrollment period. So for the sake of the scenario
the general enrollment period to them and everything like that in a real appointment. So we're just going to do two today, but I think we'll do a couple more of these here in the future. And really, like, the idea is that, you know, if you get out there, you've heard this, now you're ready to do it yourself. So really appreciate you being a listener, and do us a favor. If there's someone else that you know that does Medicare, we'd love it if you share this with them. Always looking to help agents to be more successful selling Medicare. So until next time.